find out what you've been missing in your life with A Balanced Life, featuring Beth Aldrich and Tracy Mallett. They'll show you how to savor your life. Each episode is filled with energized conversations featuring insightful and informative expert guests who will teach you practical ways to nourish and invigorate your life so you can experience health, balance, and vitality every day. You'll find yourself smiling as you experience the liveliness and charismatic wit between Beth, Tracy, and their guests. What makes you happy, healthy, and feeling alive? Spend an hour with Beth and Tracy and find out. We're happy you're here.
Good morning, everyone. This is Beth Aldrich. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Tracy Mallett. How are you, Tracy?
Doing great. So now I feel like I haven't been here for a while.
I know. Well, we
and traveling.
Right, and we missed you on our last show. We had some interesting guests, but we're so glad you're back. And where have you been? What you've been up to?
I have to tell you about my story because I said before I was in Spain. I was in Valencia, which is the most amazing, beautiful city, beautiful architecture. But I was teaching actually the Pilates community out there, and Pilates is where Pilates was here about 10 years ago, and it's just booming out there. And the problem is because it's booming so much, there's not enough instruction out there. So I had the pleasure of teaching about 150 students out there, and it was lovely. Mm. However, after the conference had finished, I stayed for an extra day to do some business, and I went into Alicante, which is also a beautiful city. And the food was absolutely amazing, fresh fish, you know, cooked in white wine. Oh, it was just impeccable. It was so great. I just love the Mediterranean food, which we'll be talking about later, which is awesome. But I actually got stuck there for 2 days. Because of the volcano.
Oh, good golly.
Oh, my gosh. Life. Yes, I went to the airport one day. I was delayed 6 hours, and then they closed the airport down, so I had to go back to Alicante. And then the next day, I went from Alicante to Madrid. I was in Madrid airport for about 10 hours. There to New York, New York home. I was traveling 28 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
It's causing havoc. I mean, it's nature. I mean, what can you do? But yes. Beware for all you travelers out there going into Europe. If you're going on a cruise ship, which I know a few people were going on a cruise ship, make sure you go there about 2 days prior.
Just in case.
So you're making connection.
That's true. I used to be a flight attendant. I know sometimes you just have no control, and that's when you have to really – A-type personalities, you just have to let it go and just be with it. Just say this is what it is.
Exactly. And what have you been up to, Beth?
Well, I've just been busy working on finalizing my book deal, which is always exciting. It takes – you know, it's funny. It takes much longer than you think.
People have no idea how long goes into these projects. I think you whip it up in a month.
It takes forever. And speaking of forever, Tracy, I want to introduce our first guest. I want you to tell us a little bit about him, John Humble. Tell us his bio, because I think our listeners are going to really enjoy what he has to say today.
Well, what I really enjoyed about, I was just reading through his bio and I was looking through the website and everything. And I love the fact that his approach is to the baby boomer generation, which we all forget about out there. And his name's John Humble, and it's called The 4-Step Approach to Fitness for the Baby Boomer Generation. It's not about you, but those you love. And I just love that saying. Forever Young is the DVD, and you can go to www.humblefitness.net. It's a beautiful film program. It's shot in Montana, and it's one of the most picturesque areas in the world, as we all know. And it's the home of where him and his beautiful wife, Beth, live. And it's a unique video that outlines John's Humble's Fountain of Youth. And we're all looking for the Fountain of Youth, right, Beth? So I think this is great. And, of course, people can't stop the years from racking up their total, but John Humble is convinced and knows the personal experience that people can live forever young and can help control the process. Now, this inspiring program outlines many excuses one can have for not doing the right thing. And please believe me, there are a lot of them. We all know the number one fitness reason why people don't exercise is they don't have time. Mm-hmm. But none of these excuses hold up when the facts are known. John's program is divided into simple 4-step approach, which is based on scientific facts.
which I'm excited to hear him tell us about.
Well, the most single thing important is that one embarks on a life-changing routine such as mine. It's essential to realize that it's not about you. It's important to stay healthy for the people around you that love you and that want to love you. It basically consists of resistance training. The first is resistance training. It's not bodybuilding. It's just about building lean muscle mass, and which I know he's going to be talking about today, which I truly concur with him on that. The next is cardio, because you cannot have resistance training without cardio. And John talks about the cardio aspect. The third is pretty much one of the most important, is about nutrition. And then the critical part is about your lifestyle change. So Forever Young provides step-by-step instruction for healthy tips and outlines through his four-step formula for the Fountain of Youth. So let me introduce John Humble. Really great to meet you.
Welcome to the show, John.
Good morning, ladies. Thanks for having me.
I can't believe a 60-year-old man like you, after a devastating accident, bounces back, you know, power lifter, bodybuilder, and then here you are looking as spiffy as ever.
Well, yeah, and it's, you know, at that moment it changed your life, because I honestly thought I'd never walk again, but, you get up and do what you have to do next, and based on my 30 years experience, I knew that if I didn't keep the muscles strong around my joints and my back, I was in trouble. So I just got on a program developed for myself, talked with hundreds of neurosurgeons, and finally got myself back to where I have very little problems with it. As 60, you always have some problems, as you ladies are probably aware of, with mm-hmm. with your families. But I do very well. Thank you very much.
Well, I love that you're the only man in Montana history to win the championship in all three styles of weightlifting, powerlifting, Olympic lifting, and bodybuilding. So you are definitely a man who understands the human body, and you really took the bull by the horns and said, I'm not going to let age take over at this point.
Well, that's exactly what I did. You know, we all have choices in life, and you ladies touched on it earlier. I don't look at life like, why me, or I'm feeling sorry for myself. I look at it like, what can I do next to make my life and everybody's life around me better? And that's just the philosophy that I've used all my life and will continue to do.
I think that's truly important. It's about your mindset in life. You can overcome many, you know, serious illness with the actual mindset. And I'm pretty impressed that you have that mindset to keep going. Is that what inspired you to open? And I believe you have a fabulous facility in Montana, an athletic club. Did you own that prior to the accident, or was that something after you had this accident?
Well, I've been involved with fitness and competition, and I've owned three athletic clubs in my life, and I've been a personal trainer for 35 years, and a fellow called me from Hamilton here and said, you know, I've got an opportunity to build this athletic club, but we want you running it and ultimately buying it from us. Would you be interested? And at first I said, no, I wouldn't, because I didn't want to get back into an athletic club. And the more I thought about it, I thought, yeah, you know, maybe this is something that I should do, because it's my lifestyle. Other than training people, I like helping people a lot. So we built this club about 6 years ago, and we started marketing, targeting for baby boomers and seniors. And in this little town of Hamilton, Montana, you know, we have 1,100 members in our club, and I just love helping them every day with their knees and back. And we have a lot of people here in their 60s, 70s, and some 80s, of course.
So is your gym specifically targeted to the baby boomers, or do you have younger people in there too, or is it specifically targeted for that audience?
Yeah, it's basically, everything's geared around, really, when it comes down to it, I did the DVD for boomers, which mm-hmm. technically covers, if you're 45 to 70, you're a baby boomer. That doesn't mean, you know, it's not for people under 45 or over 70, because I train people in their late 80s here, so it's about everybody. But baby boomers are not getting enough attention in my world.
No, I agree.
I really want to push it.
I think it's the baby boomer generation which you're hitting, and also the younger generation, the teens, that's lacking right now. I think you've got that two end of the spectrum. Obviously, me and Beth fit in the middle, so we're sorted. But I think you're very smart targeting the baby boomers. I mean, I own a physical therapy clinic, and I know that half them people that come into our facility every day would not be coming in if they'd had, you know, a great DVD like you're producing, or a gym around them, or support that you're offering to help them in their daily activities.
That's exactly right. When they see a fellow like me, you know, whether they like me personally or not, I assume they do somewhat because I'm kind of a cheery guy. They certainly know the afflictions that I've went through, and they look at my physique and my age. And as you ladies know, I did a kind of a do-over like City Slickers. I was married once before, and then 22 years ago, I met my lovely wife, Beth, and we have a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old child. And everybody, it's just like in the DV says, are you crazy? I said, no, I'm not crazy. I'm lucky. It's the best thing I ever did. So I have to stay young for them.
Yeah. You are my hero.
It's a lot of fun.
Well, my sweet, sweet dear friend here in Chicago is going through a little bit of a divorce situation, well, big divorce situation, and I always tell her there is someone fabulous out there that is just going to rock your world, and
that's exactly
what, you know, and you're living proof that there's always someone fabulous around the corner if you just are open to it and are positive, and your outlook, I think, is really contagious, and I think that's something that people have to really latch onto. Now, my next question for you, though, is how do you motivate people, kind of like, I hate to use this expression, but teach an old dog new tricks, getting people motivated and in the habit to actually get up and go to the gym or do the activity at home with the DVD or whatnot? How do you motivate them?
Well, I think a huge part of it, for sure, is to lead by example. With everybody that knows me and is around me, I'm a little bit contagious with the fact that I am 6 years old and I have, you know, body fat of 18%, and, you know, I still weigh 240 pounds. Yeah, and I still weigh 240 pounds, and I'm still strong.
You're my hero.
Yeah, well, and so I keep myself in really, really good shape, and they see that, and they're always asking me what to do. And then, of course, you guys know, you ladies know by looking at my DVD that I'm an absolute believer in resistance training. I think that that's been, right now, the medical community is just now starting to come out with that. Harvard newsletter just came out this month about new strength training, what they should do. Well, this is something I've been practicing and teaching, and not because of the weightlifting. I just understand that everything happens through muscle tissue. So if they get their muscles firm and stronger, their whole life is going to get better, and they'll stay youthful forever. So,
well, here's my question. Does that consider body weight resistance, like push-ups, lunges, squats?
It does.
Because I have people that do a lot of push-ups. Like my son is just now really getting into push-ups. He's young. Mm-hmm. But he's like, my teacher said that this is the best. So I'm curious about it. I know Tracy knows the answer, but for our listeners, I'd love for you to recant this, especially for our baby boomers out there.
It absolutely does. Anything that adds resistance to the muscles on your physique is resistance training. And, I push, and we sell them on our website, these bands that you can take with you hiking. It doesn't matter if you're walking downtown Chicago or Seattle. If you have a set of these bands, you can pop them out on the bench and do them there. Anything that's resistant, that's why people that are runners, endurance athletes, that aren't doing, they're, of course, they're getting resistance training from their waist down, but they're not getting it from their waist up. So they need to be doing some resistance training of some sort. Push-ups are a great thing. Anything that puts resistance against that muscle is good.
Excellent. That's a great.
Is it hard to change the mindset of baby boomers? Because in my generation, and specifically the younger generation, we educate on a daily basis about strength training. But in the baby boomer generation, they haven't been brought up with that. So how do you go about explaining to them why it's so important to strength train? Because I know specifically women, they're worried about, you know, they're going to look really big and bulky. And it's a question I get all the time, and I'm fighting against it all the time. How do you change their mindset, especially in the baby boomer generation?
Well, I think if they have a total understanding, and a lot of that obviously comes from who and what I am, but if you can develop a mindset that everything happens through muscle, you burn calories. I mean, take a look at pro bodybuilders. I do understand that a lot of them are on steroids. Shame on them. But the ones that aren't on steroids, muscle burns more calories. So if you've got more muscle mass, and I'm not talking about mass necessarily for baby boomers, if you've got more lean body mass, you will burn calories twice as efficiently. So calories is a big part of it. Joint stability is a big part of it. If you have muscle buildup around, I mean, I have had 4 knee surgeries, and I still climb these mountains twice a week, go for 7-8 miles. And the only reason I do that is all the muscles around my knees are incredibly strong, so that's what keeps them strong, because you, when you have metal pins in your knees like I do, et cetera, et cetera, if you don't keep the muscles around those joints strong, same with discs in my back, you know, all the muscles that are exterior and interior around those vertebrae is what keeps my back stable. The neurosurgeon down here sends people to me all the time because he can't believe I do what I do with two back surgeries. But it's all resistance training.
Do you cover abdominal training in your video? What is your approach to abdominal training specifically for the elderly?
Well, absolutely I cover it. I don't get into it maybe as much as I should, Tracy, to be honest with you, but it's very important to do abdominal training. That's part of what keeps your back structure strong and your core, as you well know. If you don't have a strong core, it's tough to be whole, let's say. So abdominal training is a big thing, but it's like any other muscle that you work. If you're working abdominals, you don't work them every day because they need 48 hours of rest. You're actually microscopically tearing that muscle tissue. So do the abdominal training, you know, every other day. That's plenty, and don't overdo it, but you have to do abdominal training, absolutely.
All right, so here's my question. For someone, I have, you know, family members that are really interested in getting started. What is a great way for someone to get started? I know watching your DVD, The Humble Fitness Forever Young, is a one-of-a-kind DVD that everyone should own. We want you all to go to Humble, H-U-M-B-L-E, Fitness, F-I-T-N-E-S-S.net, and order this. But in addition, for someone who may not have that yet, and someone listening today, want to give them advice, what would you say would be a great way to get them motivated and started?
You know, I'll
tell you. If they don't meet you, because I know meeting you would do it.
Well, and they're welcome to go to that website to meet me anytime. I'll be glad to answer their emails. But I would tell them the same thing I tell every client that I start training. People are missing the boat. Baby boomers, because that's who we're talking about, are missing the boat with one simple thing. Jack LaLanne said it 70 years ago, and he's 95 and a half, and he's still saying it. Just take a walk. Walk a half hour out and a half hour back. You don't have to wonder how far you're going, how much time it is. Just a half hour out, a half hour back. Start, you know, with 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So start with a walking program first, because that's what keeps your joints fluid and the strong and everything else is the walking. And then add a resistance program to it of some type, get some professional help since I'm not around. And then after you do those two things, and then get into some cardio stuff later on, and some stretching, some yoga, you know, that stuff is all good stuff. But again, at the risk of sounding repetitious, it's all about resistance training in my eyes, because I can make a cardio event out of resistance training if I want to. That's very important.
Do you personally do yoga yourself? What kind of flexibility training do you do?
I do a little bit of yoga, and I do a lot of stretching that I've developed from my low back and knees every morning for 15 minutes while I'm watching whatever terrible or good news there is on TV these days.
What's left of
the news. I think that's great.
So, well, now, and we also wanted, Tracy, you know, I think we've talked about this before, John, we want to point out that, of course, being a baby boomer and in that age level, always check with your doctor, you know, and make sure that you're in a condition, because, you know, some people want to get healthy, but then they may not know for sure if they've got heart conditions or whatnot. Now, someone coming off of, say, heart surgery, obviously common sense is just, you know, several months later after you're healed and you've got the approval, just start walking.
Exactly. Don't forget, Beth, that heart is a muscle and it responds as a muscle. So you have to work it. But don't you find it ironic, and I say this with respect, the people that have, they wait till they have some kind of a problem. They have a heart attack, then they start walking, then they start eating well, and just about everyone I've ever met in my life does that until they start feeling better, and then you know what they do?
They go back.
Yeah, absolutely correct. And part of what I want to
teach. I see it all the time.
All the time.
it drives me crazy. I get masses of my clients that come in, they're doing great. And then they look great. They've lost all the weight. They're like this hot mama. And then they don't come back again. And I'm like, what is it with that? You got to keep doing it. It's a lifestyle. It's not about short.
Absolutely
what's your thought on
true.
That, John?
I am so glad that Tracy said that, because if I'm going to teach anything with this DVD, you have got to get on some kind of a program that works for you. And guess what? It's a lifestyle change that you have to do until the last day of your life. That's as simple as it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and find something that you really love. I mean, exactly. If you love gardening, dag nabbit, be the best, fastest cardio gardener there is.
Well, you totally understand why people get heavier and
like
softer,
that,
you know.
When
you...
I got all emotional about that. I'm sorry.
Well,
emotional.
I can just imagine Beth in the back garden doing a belly dance, you know, doing garden.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't get a chance to work out as much as I used to in the day. And when I walk the dogs, I want you all to know, remember Tracy, we had Tracy Austin on the show. I stand there and I do standing crunches. I squeeze and release my stomach while the dogs are doing their doo-doo.
Exactly right. And you can do that driving the car or anything else, you know, that's very safe. And what baby boomers don't seem to understand, I don't quite know, and maybe because they don't know or they don't care, or quite honestly, here I'm going to get myself in trouble, they're lazy.
No, go right ahead.
They could be lazy. I don't know if that's it or not. But when you're When you're 60 years old, if you don't understand a simple concept that your metabolism is changing because you're 60 and you're not as active as you were in your 20, if you understand those two things, then you have to do something to counteract those two things in your life, and that's working out and eating right and get on with loving and laughing, really, all that good stuff.
I'd love to touch on about the nutrition a little bit just before you leave, because I think that's really important. Have you got any, some tips of the right things, the right amounts, the right times to eat for nutrition?
Yeah, and in my world, it's really, really simple. I'm, as you well know, Tracy, I'm a huge Jack LaLanne fan, and I'm a huge Jack.
We love Jack. Woo, woo, woo.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well,
gotta get him on the show.
Yeah, I hope you do, because here's a 95-year-old guy that got this stuff 70 years ago, and he said, that's it, and he went clean. And the best thing that I can tell all your listeners, so I don't confuse them, because my DVD is as simple as you can possibly get, and I love it because of that.
It's just, beautiful, too, by the
just
way. Your wife
eat.
Is darling.
Isn't she something?
Oh, yeah. I want to meet her.
Yeah, she's a wonderful
beautiful.
Person.
She's beautiful. You have lucky dog. She's beautiful.
Oh, and then some. Thank you very much.
So what were you saying? You're making your DVD simple.
I can say, baby boomers, listen to this one statement. It's all you'll ever have to know. Pretend that you're stranded on a tropical island all by yourself, and that is how you eat. That's it.
Oh, I love that. I'll go.
Because what's on a tropical island? There's fish, there's lean meats, there's fruits, there's vegetables. So if you go down to the store tonight, you're going to buy something. All you have to ask yourself is, could I find this on an island someplace? If the answer is no, don't eat it.
You know, John, I just love the fact that you just talked about eating on a tropical island, because after our commercial break, our next guest is talking about just that. He's going to be talking about eating the Mediterranean way. And
that's the way.
I love it. You get it. You get it. You
tell your next guest that she's my hero, because he's right on board with that. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Now, let's do a little bit of promotional, shameless self-promotion. Tell us what's going on coming up for you, and recant your website and anything you want our listeners to know about.
Well, my website is humblefitness.net, and you can get a hold of me at john@humblefitness.net. And we're just now, as you all know, Leslie McClure is starting to help us. We just now came out with the DVD, so we're just getting started. Gary McCord says he's going to get us on the George Lopez show, and I'll throw this out.
Oh, you'll do great at that. You got to get on Ellen too. We got to do a Facebook thing. Let's do a thing
on
Facebook.
If anybody can help me get on Ellen, I would appreciate. But you know something,
Ellen's baby boomer age. Come on,
yes,
she's older
she is.
Than me.
And I love Ellen. I think she's cool. There's only one person just as cool as Ellen, and that's the lady that helped me. Besides Jack LaLanne, the other lady that helped me inspire to do this. Is, believe it or not, okay, I'm going to take some flack on this from people, but I don't care. At 4 o'clock, I do my cardio every day for an hour, and I watch the Oprah show every single day.
Okay. I used to work out right next to Oprah on the Stairmaster here in Chicago.
Did you really? I love Oprah.
Yes, and I'll tell you, she was there like clockwork, and of course I planned my workouts to be there when she was there.
Of course, Beth, I'm surprised.
And then on the other side of the gym is Michael Jordan, so I'd go over there and do crunches next to Michael, and I'm like, is
so
he at me? Of course he wasn't. But anyway, John, thank you so much, because I know people are definitely looking at you, and I think you are a huge inspiration and success. Thank you so much for being on the show.
I appreciate you ladies very much and the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Great to see you, John. Just keep that perfect optimism that you've had through your life, and honestly, everything will just fall into place. Great job. I'm really excited for you.
Oh, I appreciate it. And you ladies, stay forever young, would you?
Oh, we will.
Oh, we will. We're trying our best.
Okay, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Bye, John.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. All right, so next on the show, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, we are going to be talking with Georgia from the Old Ways Table. It's a fabulous way of eating and living. I think you won't want to miss a bite. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a flash.
ForHerInformation.com online magazine is the place to be for hip, conscious-minded women. You can find information, ideas, and solutions that can improve your life and the planet. Explore the variety of articles, the It Girl column, radio show archives, and recent television clips, all designed with you in mind, the hip, conscious-minded woman. ForHerInformation.com features a link to the Green Mom blog written by founder Beth Aldrich, where you'll find tons of great ideas and product tips that are mindful of the planet and you. ForHerInformation.com. Log on today and read what you've been missing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
To Balance Live with Tracy Malice and Beth Aldridge. We're super excited. We've got a great guest today. And because I just got back from Spain and I was eating the Mediterranean diet, I'm super excited about this. So I'll let you, Beth, introduce our next guest.
Well, thank you, Tracy. Georgia Orcutt is a program manager for Old Ways, an internationally respected nonprofit changing the way people eat through practical and positive programs grounded in science, tradition, and delicious foods and drinks, one of my favorite things. Yes. Now, some of Old Ways initiatives include, Tracy, Mediterranean Food Alliance, the Whole Grains Council, and the Latino Nutrition Coalition. Now, Georgia has spent several decades as a writer and editor for Yankee Magazine and other publications, and is the author of numerous cookbooks, including Cooking USA through Chronicle Books, and How to Feed a Teenage Boy, which, oh, Georgia, you need to send me that book because I've got three yes. boys. I've got three boys, two of which are going to be teenagers in the next 30 seconds. So welcome to the show, Georgia. Such a pleasure. Georgia, I welcome you to the show. How are you today?
I'm very well, Beth. How are you?
I'm good. Tracy and I are looking forward to hopping right in. We've got a good 25 or so minutes to really delve into the talking points about this Mediterranean diet, the Old Ways Table, and plenty more. So let's just get right started and tell us what is, for people who don't know, the Mediterranean diet.
Well, first off, Beth and Tracy, you know, the word diet, I think, puts a lot of us off. So
yes,
let's rethink.
I totally agree there.
let's rethink for a minute that word diet. And we're not talking about counting calories or, you know, some restrictive thing you're going to do to fit into a size 8 dress by somebody's wedding. That's not the Mediterranean diet. What we're talking about here is a lifestyle and a relationship that you build with food that continues for your whole life. And what it's about is when you think about food, the first thing you think about are the really healthy foods like whole grains, fruits, vegetables, beans, herbs and spices that make food taste so good, nuts, and very healthy fats. And those are the foods that you think of when you think about what you want to eat. And the idea for this kind of eating comes from the way of life that's been practiced in Mediterranean countries for centuries.
Mm-hmm. So it's the type of eating that really is a really healthy, balanced way. And it's, as you said, it's not a fad diet, which is important for people to understand. It's not like, oh, I'm going to eat Mediterranean for a month to lose weight and then I'll go back to my...
No, I think it's because they've, you know, in the Mediterranean, that's how they're brought up since they're a little child and they don't know any difference. I mean, I just said, I've just come back from Spain. And what I just love is you sit down and you have dinner and they always start with this humongous salad. I was in Spain and they have the little tapas and you eat this great nutritious salad and it's already filling you up on fiber, so you don't really overeat for the next meals afterwards, but it's just tradition. They always start off with this huge amazing salad. And oh, I just carry on.
Oh, and Tracy, that's an important point, because part of the real appeal of the Mediterranean diet is you're eating foods that do fill you up, mm-hmm. so that you don't leave the table being hungry. And
right.
you don't want something to eat 2 hours later.
Yeah.
No, it's true. Instead of eating that white bread that's always on the table, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's plenty of bread in Spain. However, I chose the beautiful green and tomato salad over the bread. But, you know, I mean, they're eating it in abundance. It's wonderful.
Yeah. So you fill up first on the salad, which is kind of what Americans – do. We go to restaurants and then they throw the bread on the table. So if you can say no thank you to the bread, then you order that salad. We're kind of in that realm. But the problem is our salads don't look like the Mediterranean salads.
They don't. They're not as colorful.
So what's your take on that, Georgia? How can we do an extreme makeover for our salads?
Well, I think part of it is to think about what's really fresh. Now, mm-hmm. if you're getting a salad in March, in Illinois, you probably don't want to put a tomato in it. You know, maybe you can find a really fresh tomato, but you could pick something else that is fresh. You could go after carrots and celery and a lot of the foods that taste really, really good out of season. My own personal sense is a tomato has to be homegrown or local or it doesn't taste good. So thinking about, you know, what can you get your hands on that you know is going to taste really good? Using great lettuces that really have flavor and putting herbs in the salad. Thinking about your dressing.
That's clever.
I mean, olive oil comes in many, many, many flavors. And if you have a really good olive oil, you know, one that you taste it and you just almost want to drink it,
mm-hmm.
You know, this is a great base for a salad dressing. And
yeah.
you don't need much more than garlic and maybe a little bit of herb in that. You don't need to open a big can of pasty glop and put it on your salad. It's not good for you, and it'll mask all the flavors.
And I think I know my father, we were talking about salad dressings recently because he had a little health scare, and so he's trying to revamp his eating, and he continually goes back to those salad dressings that he grew up with that, you know, have eaten for years that aren't as, let's say, healthy. And I think it takes time to adjust your palate. Now, is there any advice for people on how they can make the shift, maybe half and half, or what's a good way to go about that for people making
the
shift?
I think one of the most important things is to go slowly, you know, not to say, if you have a favorite food, not to say, oh dear, I can't eat this for the rest of my life. But mm-hmm. one of the biggest shifts, and I would say the most fundamental and the most important, concerns how you think about what you're going to eat. Now, I grew up in a family where every day my mother thought, what's the meat going to be? You know, what's the big item
oh,
going
yeah.
to be?
The main course.
The main what's course, the main exactly. course? And this main course thinking is just embedded in many of our minds so that you think, okay, are we having chicken? Are we having beef? Are we having fish? You know, whatever that is. Well, one way to think about the Mediterranean diet is what vegetables can I get my hands on today that will be fabulous? Mm-hmm. And what fruits are going mm-hmm. to be terrific? And what grains have I got on hand that I can cook? And, oh, yes, then what can I go after for protein? And that might
right.
be chicken. It might be fish. But you start building your menu in a whole different way.
And opposite direction, if you think about it, you're building it in the opposite direction. You're building it with vegetables and then go in grains and then using the protein as the latter object, right?
Well, and that's kind of where I want to chime in, because this is perfect timing, Georgia, to talk about the Mediterranean food pyramid.
Yeah,
let's give a verbal description if people can kind of come in their mind's eye and tell us a little bit about that, Georgia.
Okay, and this is a great thing to talk about, Beth, because it's a really graphic depiction of how you eat. At the biggest level, and I want to say right now, this is not the USDA food pyramid. We have created our own contemporary look at how to eat healthy.
And yeah, so the I'm with first, you, girlfriend.
Well, the first thing, and this is, the pyramid is built upon two really important cornerstones of a healthy lifestyle. The first thing is daily physical activity. And this is in the food pyramid because it's so important.
And that's on the bottom level, the fattest.
That's right. This is something you do. This is big time. You do this. You do this as much as you
this
can.
This is your foundation.
Okay. I mean,
exactly. And this doesn't mean, you know, if you want to go to the gym all the time and engage in strenuous exercise and run and do aerobics, that's terrific. But you can also do leisurely things. And if you're starting the Mediterranean eating pattern, you can walk, you can do yard work. You start thinking about getting active, you know, park the car further away from the store and get movement into every day and start walking.
Okay.
And the second thing that's very, very important is you enjoy the pleasure of the table. And this means eating with family and friends. This means having a meal as often as possible be an event. And it's as simple as eating, you know, a meal with your friends, bringing a neighbor in. If you're by yourself, sitting down and thinking about what you're eating, and pausing in the day to enjoy the taste of what you're eating. It's not gobbling some fast food in the car on the way to the next thing.
Well, this sounds a lot like a holistic philosophy, which I studied in New York, and Tracy and I have talked about this at length, is really feeding your life through movement and relationship.
Exactly. And you'll find that if you sit down and look at your food and taste your food, you immediately want better food. You want it to taste good. You want it to be a mixture of flavors and colors, and you want that plate, even if it's very, very modest. It doesn't have to be a big doodah. It can be something you've pulled together from the pantry, but mm-hmm. you relate to it and you enjoy it.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, on my family, if I say, let's just go out because I don't really want to cook, they want to stay home and connect. They don't necessarily like to go out. And I, on the other hand, don't like the cleanup and all the, that. So it's interesting because children, especially husbands, I think sometimes, because if they're traditional, they really want that connection when they're home. And I think that's part of this pyramid. Now, what's the next level on the second level from the bottom on this pyramid?
The next level, and this is really important because these are the foods you base every meal upon.
Okay.
And we're looking here at whole grains, fruits, vegetables, beans, herbs, spices, nuts, mm-hmm. peanuts, and healthy
fats. Making me hungry.
You're making me hungry. Those are the foods that I just totally crave for every day, so I'm on the right path.
Exactly. And these are so important. And you'll see on there we have olive oil, we have olives, we have the flavoring. And in the hands of even a beginning cook, if you have an assortment of these foods, you can put together terrific meals, just terrific meals.
That sounds so good. Okay, so now that you've got our appetite wet, what is the next WHET, what is the next phase up? So this is getting smaller, folks. Now, if you're listening, it's the top of the triangle. We're getting halfway up to the top. Now what do we have?
Now we go up to fish and seafood. And it's really important if you're a fish eater to look at eating fish twice a week.
Okay.
It's a very, very healthy fat. It has a lot of omega-3s in it.
Including shrimp, right?
We have shrimp. We have
shrimp and mussels.
Mussels.
Too?
We have clams. There are a whole lot of different fish.
Oysters.
Oysters are on there. And as you know, seafood is really a political issue today. We
yes,
talk
it
a lot
is.
About sustainability, and some of the little fishes are among the healthiest and the most sustainable. So things like sardines and herring, fish that you can keep in the pantry, are wonderful, wonderful sources of omega-3, and they're very, very easy to incorporate in a lot of daily dishes.
That's good to know, I think.
Tuna,
good...
yeah, canned. Yeah. And then, you know, the packaged tuna now, which is in the, it's better packaging, so it's not going to leach, you know, aluminum, which I think is key. Now we're getting up to the top now, to the smaller section. The second to the last on the top is what do we have there?
Now, in here we have poultry and eggs, and we have cheese and yogurt. And what I'd like to say about cheese is I think a lot of people worry about the fat in cheese, and cheese does contain a lot of fat. It doesn't mean you can't have a small portion of it and build that in. One of the things we talk a lot about is using a small piece of cheese as a dessert item, as is done in a lot of the Mediterranean, and you might pair it with grapes or you know, a sliced apple or an orange. If you like cheese, enjoy it, but just don't eat, you know, half the wheel of it.
Okay, she knows me. So in other words, common sense and balance.
That's right. Balance is really important. And I think this is a mistake.
I just want to quickly chime in there because talking about meats, because I just said I was in Spain, and I was actually surprised how much, I mean, I don't eat a lot of meat. I eat mostly chicken and fish, but I don't eat red meat. But everywhere I seemed to go, it was very hard. There was so much meat. So that's surprising. What, can you comment anything about that, the Spain region, why there was so much meat?
Tracy, were you seeing the meat in restaurants or were people cooking it at home?
You're right. I mean, it's a good point. It was in restaurants because obviously I wasn't cooking at home. I was in restaurants, but the, you know, that's probably why they're just offering probably more for the tourists, I would think.
Maybe. Yeah, I think that's a lot of it. I think as you travel around the Mediterranean, you can often find meat in restaurants. But I think for many people living there, meat is a celebratory food. It's expensive. It can take, you know, some time to cook it. And so one of the reasons we've put it up at the top of the pyramid, aside from the health issues and the saturated fat that is part of red meat and other meats, is the idea that you can certainly have meat, but make it a special item just as you would cake or pie. And so maybe if you are planning a celebration, you might roast a leg of lamb or you might make, you know, some kind of beef. But you don't eat it every day, and the recommendation is that you just eat it maybe a couple of times a month at most.
Interesting.
Very interesting. So the idea of really making it like your little accent, maybe
exactly.
How many ounces, 2 to 3 ounces?
Exactly, and you'll find this. You know, one of the things we just love to do at Old Ways is to use prosciutto as a topping for pasta dishes, for example. So you get meat in there, but it's a flavor accent. It isn't, you know, a 2-pound steak on the side of the plate.
Yeah. Now that we're talking, and then the top one we talked was the meats and the sweets. So that makes sense perfectly. Now, when we talk about Old Ways, I want to know a little bit about the Mediterranean diet in the U.S. and Old Ways. Tell us a little bit about how this started and a little bit about, you know, the organization.
Okay. Well, the father of the Mediterranean diet is Ansel Keys, who was a scientist and a researcher and a very bright man, who started noticing in Mediterranean countries that people didn't seem to have some of the health issues that were emerging in America. They didn't seem to have as much heart disease. And he's going back decades noticing some of this. And one of the things I just in parentheses want to put in here, when we talk about the Mediterranean and the Mediterranean diet, we're not just talking about Italy.
A lot of people will say to me,
oh, I don't want to eat pasta. And it's really important to think about that we're looking at 22 countries in the Mediterranean. And we have Spain and Greece. We have Turkey, Italy, Algeria, Israel. So the foods that we're talking about here represent an enormous variety. couscous, pasta, rice. You know, there are many, many choices. Anyway, back to Ansel Keys. He started seeing the diet and talking about it. And Dunn Gifford, who is just a terrific, terrific fellow, got wind of this and started looking into it and said, why aren't we doing this in America? There were studies coming out about heart health. We were in the middle. This is late 1980s. We were in the middle of the beginning of this low-fat hysteria. What can we do? Heart disease is rising. And Dunn Gifford said, we need to pair the science and the food traditions that seem to be so healthy and figure out what's going on here and how can we bring this message to America. And he founded Old Ways. He set up a lot of symposiums and conferences to get scientists and cooks together. And one of the first missions he had was to get everybody in America to cook with olive oil instead of with butter.
Oh, hallelujah.
And when he started this, it's really interesting. People said to him, we actually have a quote from someone saying, Americans won't know what to do with olive oil. They'll think they should put it on French fries.
I got to tell you, every time we go out to eat, my son orders olive oil and dips his bread. That's what he, I mean, there's the bread again, but still.
See, now we can thank Dunn Gifford for that because.
Oh, thank you, Dunn. Bless your soul.
Because he really wanted people to understand this. And olive oil used to be this rare ingredient that was sort of off in a bottle on the shelf. And what did you do with it? And now we have it everywhere. We're seeing, we go to tastings. You can find it everywhere in many varieties, many, you know, different flavors from many different countries. So that was kind of the first thing Old Ways grabbed onto. And from that, the Mediterranean Diet Pyramid was created in 1993, and that was an immediate reaction to the USDA coming out with a pyramid that said we should be eating meat every day.
Yes.
Now, Georgia, I really want to touch on the fact that because I know, obviously, we've gone through an economy crash right now and many people are watching their wallets. And I really, truly enjoyed what you sent me. And it's called The Power of the $2 Easy, Affordable Mediterranean Recipes. And the fact that you can eat healthy for $2 is very intriguing to me. And you've got like many, many recipes here that women can cook up at home and they only cost $2. This is
crazy. That's crazy cheap. See, so when I hear people complain about money.
Yeah, they're complaining that packaged foods, I had this conversation 2 days ago, that packaged foods was so much cheaper and the fact now that they're eating more healthier, more fresh foods, that their bill has doubled. And there must be a way around this so we can try and get over this obstacle for people not eating healthy.
Well, I think, Tracy, one of the real keys, and this is something else for everyone to get their mind around, is you don't want to be every day at dinner recreating a meal from scratch because there's nothing in the house. You're going to run out and buy fast food. You're going to buy convenience food.
So you guys stay here. I'm going to go run and get my olive oil bottle. I'll be right back, okay? Keep talking. I'll be right back.
She can't live without olive oil, and that's how it should be.
Well, that's exactly how it should be. But if you look at the whole grains, which are, you know, so important to the Mediterranean diet, these are not expensive. You know, rice, brown rice, you know, using bulgur and quinoa, and there's a wonderful grain called farro. You know, we're talking about, 20 cents per serving. If you make a big pot of those and you season them well and you have some leftovers, you can start to build a second meal from those. And I'm a big believer in cooking, when you feel like cooking, making enough for a day or two so that
that's
you
what
keep
exactly
something
that's
up.
What I do. I cook in bulk, like I'll buy, you know, cook the quinoa and I'll cook in bulk. So, or the whole grain rice. We eat a lot of black beans and we cook in abundance because my kids love that. And that's kind of like their staple, their whole grain rice with their black beans. And then, you know, then we'll find, you know, a protein or whatever to go with it. But I mean, so much protein in these grains anyway that people don't realize you don't need to keep adding a meat to go with it. You know, just add the vegetables to go with it and you've got a great balanced meal.
Exactly. And, you know, I'd like to say I created something on the weekend that was fabulous. I made a lasagna But instead of using pasta, I use three different whole grains to build the layers with.
Oh, and, interesting. And, explain to us. I'd love to hear about that because I love
that. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it was fabulous. I roasted a lot of eggplant in the oven, and roasting vegetables is very Mediterranean and very easy. You just cut up whatever you have and roast them at about 425, brushed with a little olive oil. It takes 10 or 15 minutes, and they come out sweet and full of flavor. So I roasted eggplants. I had a little zucchini. I had some carrots, and I threw them all in the oven for maybe 15, 20 minutes. I wanted to get that really good flavor. And then I built a layered dish. I quickly made some tomato sauce, and I made a layer of eggplant, and then I put some spinach in too. And I just built layers with whole grains. I used farro and brown rice. And
I've never used farro. What does farro taste
like? It's wonderful. It's like a very nutty barley. And it's delicious because it cooks in about 15 minutes. And I highly recommend you try it. And I put this all together, and my family went crazy for this. And I would say it was probably about 40 cents a serving.
Really? That's incredible.
It's just about effort, really. It's setting forth an effort to actually cook at home and not keep going to those convenience foods that we will keep trying to go to.
You know? Letting people know that you can do this.
Yeah.
Well, we should have
cooking classes. I think cooking classes would be good. I think we could all benefit from that. An online radio cooking show, you know?
That's a good idea.
I think we should.
George's eyeballs just went, woo!
Yeah,
let's go. Let's get cooking.
Now, Georgia, why do you think it's so important to talk about healthy eating in terms of public health issues in America for today, for example? What is your real focus on that with the public health?
Well, I think very sadly, Beth, people aren't getting healthier. And, you know, we talk all about food and we talk about the right way to eat. And, you know, obesity rates are rising. Diabetes is rising. You know, I think Michelle Obama's campaign is fantastic. But the message needs to get out to everybody, to kids, to, you know, to senior citizens. I mean, I think we can't talk enough about how important it is to eat well, to eat so that you're not in the doctor's office all the time, to eat so you have a lot of energy. And I think kids, it's very, very important, you know, particularly if you're a parent, to start getting on the page where everyone in the family eats the same food.
Right.
And you stop, you know, this short order cook stuff. You know, your child comes home and says, I don't want that tonight.
It is hard that we all eat the same foods, and it is something that I'm consciously trying to make an effort to do so, and they are getting better. But
yeah,
it is a challenge, wouldn't you agree, Beth?
And I think what George is saying makes sense. So really the takeaway from the majority of today's conversation, because we have about a minute and a half left here, is to really focus on entire lifestyle
together as a unit.
Lifelong eating for the entire family. Wouldn't you agree, Georgia?
I would, Beth. And you know, giving choices, putting out for kids, you know, maybe two dressings and some carrots and some celery, and let them play with their food. Let them experience flavors.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Share. I mean, I think sharing is so important. Instead of making these plates of food that we hand to people, you know, putting it all on the table and letting everyone take what they feel like eating.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of fun. Then give them a choice.
Yes. Don't assume that the kids are not going to like it because it's green.
Right. Now, Georgia, before we go, I'd love for you to just boast a bit here. Tell us the best websites to find out the information for Old Ways and anything else that's important right now on the top of the list.
Okay. Well, the Old Ways website is oldwayspt.org.
So OLDWAYSP, as in Paul, T as in Tom, .org, okay?
Yeah, P as in Peter.
Peter.
OldWaysPT.org.
PT.org, okay.
Okay, and, you know, that's one really at the top of my list because I write a lot of the recipes that you'll find on there.
Yeah.
We test all kinds of foods, and at that website, you can also go to the Whole Grains Council, which is another one of our programs. And this is a terrific, terrific resource for anyone who doesn't understand what whole grains are.
And to learn more about them, right? And just get that full information.
And well, there are lots of links and all kinds of things there. And
that
then,
is awesome information. I don't want to cut it short, but we do have to cut the show now. So I want to invite everyone to please check
the
website and oldwayspt.org. And thank you so much, Georgia, for being a guest on our show and talking about old ways and teaching us more about the Mediterranean way of life. I think it's a eating style. I think it's something we all can benefit from. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you for your great tips. It's truly great having you on the show. And Beth, we've come to an end.
It goes too fast.
I truly enjoy spending my time with you, Beth, because we live such a, not a balanced life. No, we try to live a balanced life.
We do.
Get to catch up.
But, well, everyone listening, please go to Tracy's website at www.tracymallett.com, TracyMallett.com.
Go to Beth's information.com. She has some great tips out there on nutrition and health.
Thank you.
And just basically staying a better mommy.
Well, be happy. I love you. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks and have a balanced life, everyone. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to A Balanced Life with Beth Aldrich and Tracy Mallett. Listen every other Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time as Beth and Tracy show you what you've been missing.